May 17th, 1977, chapel speaker unknown.
Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The words of God as our text from the Gospel for Ascension, Luke chapter 24. Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he blessed them, he parted from them. One of the most fantastic pictures I have ever seen is a picture that was taken by the Apollo astronauts while they were in lunar orbit. Those of you here in the seminary chapel have that picture, a reprint of it, on the psalm sheet that was provided by the American Bible Society. As you look at it, and as you think about it, how insignificant we as earthlings appear from a distance of 230,000 miles. How small we are. How unimportant. From this distance, our temporary home, the planet Earth, appears like a round ball, blue ocean, swirling white cloud cover. But when we think about it, we recognize the fact that we live on this planet only because of the divine strategy and order of God. This planet is not something that came as a result of chance, and we are not creatures of accident, but rather our planet and all of us are part of God's glorious creation. We live on what is called the visited planet. At God's right time, he came to visit his creatures, his creation here. That was his will. He talked so much about it. Our planet experienced a unique Christmas and a unique epiphany. In the person of Jesus Christ, God came down to man. His purpose? To share his life with us, to share his love, to share his forgiveness. The Easter message of Christ's resurrection was God's way of saying that the mission of our Lord was accomplished, that it was finished. Everything that he had set out to do was now done in terms of our salvation. Thursday, we celebrate the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the signal that he went to join his heavenly Father. He had left his throne of glory, of majesty. He had come into this earth to share our life, to take our sins, to suffer, to die, to rise again. All had been finished. Mission accomplished. And so now the ascension of our Lord is just another plan, another part of God's plan that was fulfilled for his people. I have to be frank and say that as a boy, I had quite a bit of difficulty understanding Christ's ascension. I didn't have any problem believing that it happened, of believing that our Lord went to join his heavenly Father. But I had difficulty understanding the mode of travel that he used. I had difficulty understanding the location of heaven. As a kid, back in the 40s, the 50s, I was interested in model airplanes. I was all wrapped up in the Lone Ranger and Superman. And so somehow in my mind's eye, I envisioned God in the person of Jesus Christ, leaving this earth possibly on the largest, fastest airplane available at that time. And if it didn't happen that way, I sort of imagined that Jesus flexed his knees, and with one great bound, he left this earth and shot up into heaven, faster than a speeding silver bullet. If I were a child today, I suppose I would imagine that Jesus ascended into heaven on one of the fastest, greatest rocket ships available. And then he was gone. A lot of people still get hung up on the mode of transportation, on the location of heaven. But that's really not important, is it? Those are minor details that we don't really have to bother about. What's important for us to believe is that Jesus Christ descended into heaven and that he is now with God in glory. And at the same time, he is with us, ever present in the Spirit. The exciting thing about that for you and for me is that it says, heaven is for real. That's not just something that people make up. That's not just pie in the sky sort of thinking. But heaven is for real. And someday, you and I will join Jesus Christ to be with him in heaven. That brings all kinds of questions too, and struggles and obstacles for people. Where is heaven? How do we get there? What's it going to be like? One of the ways that I like to think about heaven is to think about blind Bartimaeus, the man that Jesus met on the way from Jericho. And Jesus asked him, "What would you like to do for me?" The blind man replied, "Master, I'd like to receive my sight. I'd like to be able to see." The first thing that the blind man saw when Jesus healed his blindness was Jesus Christ standing right in front of him. When we are raised from the dead, when we too are the fruits that Jesus Christ takes with him, when we are plucked like that first fruit by God in the resurrection, the first thing that we shall see with our eyes in eternal life is Jesus Christ standing right in front of us. What a sight. That'll make it all meaningful for us, won't it? That'll say that all the plans and all the strategy and all the purpose that God had in mind for his son Jesus Christ and for us on this earth was certainly worth it. We can hardly wait for that time. But we have to. And in the meantime, we've got a job to do here. We are in service to God and our fellow men on this earth. We do that in his name. We're to build a kingdom. We're to build a kingdom of love, of justice, of forgiveness, of salvation. We have our Lord's promise that he's with us at all times, even to the end of the world. Christ's ascension, then, is another way of God proclaiming, mission accomplished. But at the same time, Christ's ascension reminds you and me that our mission to God and to his people here is still yet very much in progress. May you have a blessed mission today, this summer, as you possibly leave this campus, as you spend a year of vicarage in a congregation, as you yourself assume a pastorate in the congregation of our church. Forever, may you have a blessed mission for the Lord. And may he also say of you and me, mission accomplished. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in this Christ Jesus who visited our planet. Amen.